We all had a discussion together as a community on the Nolan Show yesterday about the concern for Northern Ireland PLC. We were talking together about, well, big companies deciding whether they're going to come and set up shop in Northern Ireland and create jobs in Northern Ireland, the political instability that there is. Would they be wise to do that? Who is going to make the decisions after the High Court ruling the civil servants cannot make civil senior decisions in this country? So while we were all talking about that, the Secretary of State, Karen Bradley, when confronted by Sinn Féin's Martina Anderson, was more focused on the cows.
Your Prime Minister wrote to Donald Tusk and actually said to Donald Tusk that they agreed that there needed to be
a backstop. No, we agree there needs to be a backstop. That is paragraph 50 of the joint report. We all agree with that. No, we don't agree with the text that's been put forward by the EU. But come on, let's not argue about that. No, we are here to enjoy a great show.
We're here to enjoy a brilliant show.
Let's
but you know, these are the people that are going to be damaged.
And let's go and enjoy the show.
We are not going to be collateral damage.
Let's go and enjoy the show. Sinn Féin's Martina Anderson did bounce the Secretary of State, but again, Karen Bradley made it clear where her focus was yesterday.
And let's go and enjoy
the
show.
To be fair to the Secretary of State, although she didn't want to talk politics during the day out in the sunshine with the animals at the Balmoral show, she did take questions and answer them.
I just want to say to you, as far as the people have been concerned that we're talking to, there is demonstrable change for a unity poll, and your Prime Minister knows it. And I think that the evidence that we've had from opinion polls shouldn't be dismissed. And I acknowledge
We're going to write on the points that were raised, so we will write about
it. But Brexit is something that we're seriously concerned about, deeply, and there is a backstop and a protocol in place. That's going to allow, at least for the North, to stay in the customs union.
We, of course, don't accept the backstop that's been set down by the EU. We're working on a backstop that we are happy with, and we'll be bringing forward that to the June Council.
But the protocol that was put into the draft withdrawal agreement, your Prime Minister wrote to Donald Tusk and actually said to Donald Tusk that they agreed that there needed to be
a backstop. No, we agree there needs to be a backstop. That is paragraph 50 of the joint report. We all agree with that. We don't agree with the text that's been put forward by the EU. But come on, let's not argue about that. We are here to enjoy a great show.
We're here to enjoy a brilliant show.
Let's
go and enjoy it. But you know, these are the people that are going to be damaged.
And let's go and enjoy the show.
We are not going to be collateral damage.
No, and I'm determined that won't be the case.
And you have to recognise paragraph 49 as well.
We recognise paragraph 49 and 50. And we're working on it.
No diminution of our rights.
We are absolutely,
and there's just
absolutely
one, okay,
right.
One,
we stand by the joint
thing,
pot. Come on,
let's go and see. One last thing. You need to release the funding.
And we're waiting for
legacy.
We're waiting
and the
for
comments,
the bid that needs to come from the Department of Justice as set out in the Hughes judgment.
You know,
that's what we're waiting for.
You see the comments was made? Was straight, so, disgraceful, Karen.
Come on.
Thank you very much.
Pretty raw politics, actually. The commentator Alison Morris, the former DUP MLA Nelson McCausland, with us this morning. Morning to you, Alison.
Good morning.
Good morning. Nelson, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Do you feel sorry for Karen Bradley there, or actually should more people be asking her what on earth she's going to do in this country?
Well, there were, I'm sure, many people who raised issues with Karen Bradley yesterday, and we know that also the Institute of Directors did that as well. But I think that the thing that comes across so clearly in that exchange between Martina Anderson and Karen Bradley was the manner, the tone, the nature of the approach by Martina Anderson. I suppose it is, I have to say this, an improvement in that 12 months ago her attitude to the Prime Minister was to say, stick your border where the sun doesn't shine. That's how she expressed it in the European Parliament. So there has been maybe a slight improvement in tone, but having said that, that was the wrong way to raise issues.
Why?
Well, first of all, Sinn Féin have 7 MPs. And the best place to raise issues would be as an MP to take your seat in the House of Commons, to go to Westminster to debate those issues, to raise those issues. And if you want to do it in public rather than in a committee room or in a corridor somewhere, you have the opportunity as an MP, because it will be televised, you have the opportunity to raise your issues in public on the floor of the House of Commons. And I think rather than that sort of crass approach that we saw, ill-mannered approach from Sinn Féin yesterday, that's the way to do it, the proper in the proper chamber.
Sure. Or, Nelson, you could look at it completely the opposite way, couldn't you?
Well, sure, and, Sinn Féin would look at it very differently.
And, well, I'm not Sinn Féin, but
no,
let me put the opposite way to you, which is that at least there was Sinn Féin, rather than going up and standing for photo calls and eating ice cream and stroking a couple of sheep. There was Sinn Féin reminding the Secretary of State that major decisions affecting every one of us in this country need to be made, need to be discussed, and they were in her face demanding answers. So you can look at it that way. It would be very easy for politicians to go up there, and maybe some of them did, I don't know, and stand and have a poke.
The agricultural show is very much a celebration of the agricultural industry in Northern Ireland. And that, of course, is a major component in our economy. And I think it's right to celebrate that, and I think it's wrong to abuse the situation, as Sinn Féin did yesterday, to try and cover up the fact that they are in many ways impotent. They don't take their seats, they don't use their influence, which would be there in the House of Commons, and they resort to that sort of stage-managed stunt. Now, there's been a lot of focus on Karen Bradley saying, let's go and enjoy the show. I think we have to be fair to Karen Bradley and say that she was, I think, being quite polite in saying, this is not the time, the place, the manner for that sort of in-your-face confrontation. It was a polite way of saying to Martina Anderson, but someone else might have just said to me, catch yourself on, Martina. This is not the time or the place. We will discuss that. We'll deal with those issues. We'll meet around it. I think it was politeness.
I'm remembering, Nelson, Alison, I'll come to you right now, but I'm remembering in my own head, Nelson, over the last couple of decades of quite a few occasions when the DUP have been very publicly, and many people would say rightly so, they were representing their mandate in the face. Do you remember Paisley with Trimble on the streets and so it goes on, the battle of the boss, you know, for goodness sake, part of the DUP's DNA is to be in the face.
We've got to remember, I think, here, this was not an election contest, which very often those things happened in the context of. We were dealing here with a situation where there are issues to be made to the Secretary of State, and I think many people in Northern Ireland would have legitimate concerns about the lack of decision-making or the nature of decisions made by the Northern Ireland Office and the Secretary of State. That's fine. We will all express those views. We do it in the proper way, not in the manner that we saw yesterday.
Alison?
Well, first of all, there's two things here. I think that the language being used to describe this exchange has more than a hint of misogyny about it. If that had been two male politicians challenging each other in quite a robust way, I don't think we would have heard the same language used, the same insulting language used to describe either of those women. And I think that the Balmoral Show was probably the perfect place to raise the issues around Brexit, because while we are all going to be affected by Brexit, none of us will be affected in quite the same way that those who work in the farming industry will. And we know that those people who are subject to EU subsidies, we know that the people who rely on cross-border and European trade in the agricultural industry are those who have voiced the most concerns about what is going to happen and needing to know what is going to happen. So I think it actually was probably the correct place.
But was this a stunt by Sinn Féin? They've got access to the Secretary of State beyond the Balmoral Show.
But what we've heard from politicians, not just Sinn Féin, is that the Secretary of State is not as accessible as maybe she could be, but also the fact that we heard that with questions in Westminster this week, she's not really saying very much. We're not getting very many answers. And I think that probably people do want to see the Secretary of State challenged as to what she is going to do, because we know that we have no governance here. We know that the recent court ruling has left everybody in limbo. Nobody knows is quite sure who's allowed to make decisions and who isn't allowed to make decisions. And the Secretary of State's the only person who has the answer to that. She's the only person who can put anything in place to change that. So she's got to know, if she take on a job like the Secretary of State, you are going to get challenged on occasions. And I don't think that she was quite prepared for that. She had a pretty thinker of the day yesterday. I thought that the first day when she arrived at Northern Ireland, and remember the rain was pelting down and she was pictured standing down at the Titanic quarter, was probably a pretty bad day to arrive. But I think yesterday was worse in terms of PR for her. But I think that what she does seem
What's
to...
What's misogynistic, by the way, about how it's being, the encounter's being described? Yeah, well, what do you mean about that?
Nathan used the words crass, I think, but I mean, I have looked at some of the commentary around it, and there's been people have said it was shrill or historical, and the kind of words that are only ever used to describe women when women have political clashes with each other. You don't hear those kind of words being used to describe men. You know, if men have arguments in the political arena, that's described as robust, you know, whereas when women have arguments in the political arena, the language is very different. I think there were two elected women, two women who have very strong views, and they were having a pretty healthy and robust debate, and I don't think that say it was the wrong place.
But does the secondary...
We're never the wrong place when we're in the situation that we're in. But, I don't think that there's ever the wrong place.
But Alison...
It's not beyond the point where it's Tane Bunn's time. It's time for answers.
When you have a Secretary of State openly, publicly saying, look, let's go and watch this show. Let's enjoy our day out in the sunshine. She didn't say that, but that's the meaning of essentially what she was saying. Let's get on, let's go and watch the show. Does she understand? Yeah, but does she understand, do you feel, the real fear that there is among the business community and others about the lack of decision-making capacity, first of all, in Northern Ireland because of that court ruling, and then the what-ifs around Brexit. Whether you are for Brexit or against Brexit, there is still a major discussion clearly to be had as to how it's going to affect Northern Ireland. Does she understand that fear?
I don't think so, because if you'd have walked around the Balmoral show and asked everybody who was exhibiting there and everybody from the farming industry who was there what their major concern is over the next few years, I guarantee you 99.9% of them would have said Brexit and uncertainties around that. So the Balmoral show, you could do both. You could have answered the questions and enjoyed the show afterwards. The two things didn't need, you know, to be taken in as separate entities. She could have answered the questions, and she should answer the questions. We all need to know the answers.
And of course, Nelson, I will put the alternative view also to you, which is that there are a lot of farmers who voted for Brexit, and maybe there is no fear. Maybe there's a buoyant confidence in Northern Ireland.
Well, Martina Anderson and I were on a programme the other night where there was a group of six local people from Londonderry there in the programme as well, and one of them was a farmer. And I did not detect the sort of frenetic attitude that we saw yesterday from Sinn Féin. I saw a farmer who had voted for Brexit and who was quite calm and measured in his views. I think it's largely an attempt to cover up the nature, the unwise intervention yesterday by Sinn Féin. But I think when Karen Bradley was talking about going to enjoy the show, what she was saying was, let's go out and meet the people. Because that's what she was going to do. She was going to go around there and talk to people, as everyone does when they go up to the show. And when you're there, you'll hear a wide range of views, and you'll be able to interact with people. You'll take questions, you'll answer them, and so on. But it'll be done in a calm and measured way. I think it was a polite attempt by Karen Bradley to end what was rather a distasteful...
Let's see what we think at home. John in Ballygolly. Morning, John.
Morning, Hayden.
Go ahead, John.
First of all, I would agree mainly with Nelson. Don't get me wrong, Sinn Féin have got valid points that were made yesterday. But the tone and the way it was done, I think, was disrespectful. At the end of the day, Karen Bradley was there very casually dressed. She was there to show off good parts of Northern Ireland. The Balmoral show... Yes, the political parties are all there, but it's not a place for politics. As you said, Sinn Féin have access to Karen Bradley in the political arena. Yes, I get talking to her, but the way it did come across and the way she was quite in her face, I thought was very aggressive. And of course, Sinn Féin are going to say about the people they talk to, there's a need for a border poll. They're a nationalist party. you know, so that's going to come across.
I keep on hearing this, John, okay, about, yeah. You know, sometimes it's actually said about the Nolan Show as well, that we've got an aggressive style to our political coverage, okay?
I think you ask questions.
But what I would say back to that, we're talking about a wider context here about mm-hmm. how we engage with politicians, not just the Nolan Show, be it the yes. Sinn Féin's Martine Anderson or indeed anybody else. Here's all I would say back. If you look at how it's done across the water, there are some journalists who chase politicians up the street. Look at what Michael Crick does on Channel 4. It's not really the done thing in Northern Ireland also that journalists bounce a lot of politicians when they're getting out of their cars at work, when they're walking out of their constituency offices. But I'll tell you what, across the water, you could argue it's very aggressive. Journalists demand answers and sometimes literally chase them up the street to get them.
I totally agree with you. But I just think, and I actually think politicians should be hounded a lot more in Northern Ireland because they do get away with a lot of stuff over here. And, you know, I agree, being English and from England originally, they do get hounded, and it is the correct way to go. But I do think that yesterday it was in the wrong place. And I get, yes, talking. I get Martine Anderson talking to her. But the way it came across in front of the cameras, I personally think it was, she could do that if it was at Stormont or... But they were both in a casual manner. The Balmoral Show, and I'm not talking just women being casual, but it's a casual manner show. Yes, Karen Bradley's got questions to answer. I do think that this week's court hearing has completely thrown, you know, the way this country's run at the moment because we don't have any political parties in power. So I would say that Karen Bradley, one, she's got a lot of hard decisions to make. She's got a lot of answers to answer for, and she does need to show herself more in Northern Ireland. But I just think yesterday was the Balmoral Show. You know, this week we've got the North West and we've got the Balmoral Show. Two amazing things in this beautiful country. But yet what we're talking about on a Friday morning, instead of talking about how good it is, we're talking about the aggressive attitude.
Jim has called us, John, disagrees with you. Let him have a word with you and then we'll talk to the Alliance Party, Stephen Farrey. Morning, Jim. Go ahead.
Morning, Stephen. Welcome home. I think that Martine Anderson was just exactly right to confront Karen Bradley. as regards farming at the minute in the Northern Ireland, 65% of the milk produced here goes south to the border for processing. And I have a very close friend. He's a young man. He's getting married. He's investing in his dairy business. And he has rang his creamery in the south umpteen times to try and find out if they're actually going to call for the milk after Brexit. Is what's the story? What's happening? Where's his stuff going to go? Do they still want it? Are they still going to be able to take it? Is there going to be a levy on it? And he cannot get a straight answer. He cannot get a straight answer off them. They're saying, we don't know yet. We don't know yet. Now, this young man is getting married. He's continuing to invest in his business. A couple of hundred thousand is nothing in this business nowadays. And his father has told him to forget about it, go to work, because you know, you don't know what's going to happen. You could invest all this money, and someday you could be turning your milk down the drain.
And Nelson, so, the DUP obviously supported Brexit. What would you say, Nelson, to Jim here? Who, you know, it's a real concern his friend has. You know, it's not some type of news discussion, Nelson, that you and I are having. His friend is on the ground trying to make an investment decision, asking questions, and nobody knows the answer.
Well, certainly the Brexit issue is a significant issue, but I don't think you resolve it or advance towards a resolution by that sort of ill-mannered exchange that we saw yesterday.
Yeah, but Jim's point here about his friend. What does his friend
think? Point here, when Martina Anderson confronted Karen Bradley yesterday, and that was that is the core of what this item this morning is about. When that was happened yesterday, there were a number of issues that Martina Anderson raised. And I think there's a legitimacy in saying to Karen Bradley that, as you've rightly pointed out yourself already this morning, the current situation without devolution, the current situation without ministers in place is not really tenable in the longer term. That's a situation which is largely running its course. And A number of the parties here in Northern Ireland have said, including the DUP, have said to the Secretary of State and to the Prime Minister, and I use the phrase the Prime Minister rather than what Martina Anderson, the Minister of Terror, GSU, your Prime Minister. Even the way that was in tone, I thought, was quite illuminating. But we need to see the Prime Minister and the Secretary of State take decisions here. There's a tendency in the Northern Ireland office to be, and it's common across governments and public sector, to be risk averse, to be almost decision averse. And of course, I suppose the issue is going to be there. Not only will there be a desire to see some change there in that area, but then we've seen in the last few days, if you're making decisions about governance and government, then that issue, which Sinn Féin will be wanting to run away from, of the Sinn Féin expenses paid to Sinn Féin for MPs who don't attend Westminster, that issue will arise again, and that's one that Sinn Féin will want to run away from. Well, I wonder why she didn't raise that yesterday when she was talking to Karen Bradley.
Yeah, but Nelson, it would be good also that if you give your view on what our caller Jim has brought up this morning, which is, so what does his friend do? You've supported Brexit. Your party is a pro-Brexit party. His friend is asking questions because there's hundreds of thousands of pounds that he needs to decide whether to invest, and he cannot get straight answers because, Jim says, of Brexit.
And it's not Brexit itself. It's the way that Brexit is being used and abused by people for all sorts of other purposes.
Do you agree with this, Jim?
Do I agree with him?
It is Brexit. Stop, Nelson. Stop.
Sorry, what?
Well, stop. Right. No, listen. It is Brexit. Many cows do you milk? What do you produce on a farm? Do you not realise this man is making a life-changing decision here? A couple of hundred thousand doesn't fall off a tree, especially for a farmer. Are you telling him to just let on at the Balmoral show, walk about and eat ice cream and pretend that everything's rosy in the garden? It's not rosy in the yard, and these people have serious concerns. 65% of the milk in Northern Ireland goes south of the border for processing. Do they still want it? The EC don't import dairy products. They export them. It's subsidised. It's going to have to get a contract for Mexico there, 45 million. That's an EU contract. It's not a British contract.
If we want to get the best outcome for the people of Northern Ireland and indeed for the people of the Irish Republic, then we need to see a situation where instead of the bellicose approach that we're seeing from Dublin, the abrasive approach, where at least, please. I don't know the channel. I didn't pick up the channel.
Let's let him finish, Jim.
I think we're seeing again this morning from Jim, I have to say, the same sort of approach that we saw yesterday from Martina Anderson. It's a good thing to have a wee bit of respect for other people. Now, if we talk here about how we approach and get a resolution, it's quite clear that requires the right sort of attitude, not just in Northern Ireland, not just from Westminster, but also from Dublin. And the approach from Dublin, backed up by the bureaucrats in Brussels, has been very much one of, well, it's over to you to sort it out. We're not going to assist. We're not going to help. And by the way, everything you put forward, we'll say no to. It requires a partnership approach. We're told all the time in Northern Ireland about the importance of partnership. And when it comes to something like this, I find parties like Sinn Féin run a mile because they don't want to see a partnership approach. I actually suspect that Sinn Féin don't even really want a resolution to this, because it's in their political interest to keep the thing on the boil, to keep the rows going, to hype it up, to create project fear. And we saw project fear in the lead up to Brexit, and we're seeing project fear from many nationalists, people in Dublin and elsewhere.
I think you're seeing project fear at the farm gate of every farm in Northern Ireland.
When we see Sinn Féin actually creating amateur dramatics at the border.
No,
when we see the amateur dramatics by Sinn Féin, It was amateur dramatics by Sinn Féin at the border when the people dressed up in uniforms.
How many times have you said Sinn Féin? I'm asking you a simple question about Brexit.
If you just stop shouting at me for a start.
Well, hold on. Well, let's let Jim tell you how he feels about this, Nelson.
Don't shout at me.
And Jim, you're not talking about Sinn Féin this morning.
I'm not talking about Sinn Féin. Sinn Féin has nothing to do with it.
They were the ones who were raising the issue yesterday at the show.
Yes, and if nobody raises the issue, how are we going to get the answers?
Spell out, Jim, what the fear is based upon.
Where's the logic, the rationale for the fear?
The fear is, Stephen, that this is the market we have, is the EU. The EU is the market where we send our stuff, and that's where it goes, that's where it gets paid for. These people are dependent on it. And the problem is, this man has asked a simple question of his customer that buys his milk: Are you still going to be able to take my produce after Brexit? The man can't get a straight answer. And that's the problem.
Until Karen Bradley's
not going to give a straight answer. She wants to go and see the cows.
I think this is what
Nelson's sitting there talking about Sinn Féin, Sinn Féin, Sinn Féin. It's nothing to do with Sinn Féin. If you're saying we have no party in power, we have a party in power. We have the DUP. They're sitting there wagging the tail. You know what I mean? So to turn around and say that we should be lobbying this and lobbying that, we should be lobbying the DUP office. They're the ones that are sitting down below nodding away, agreeing with everything Theresa May says.
Well, I think the tone even of Jim's attitude there...
It's my fault now, is it not?
Stephen, I don't think...
Hold on. I think, Nelson, there's a fair question to ask you, which
there
is...
There is a question that is worth consideration, but the sort of... And again, it is quite crass approach that we're seeing this morning. It's unhelpful.
Well, can I just ask you this? Because you've mentioned on a number of occasions this morning, Nelson, about the tone. You've objected to the tone of Martina Anderson. You're now objecting to the tone of Jim, our caller, this morning. And you're basically saying that it's too full on, that it's not respectful enough. Now, I'm thinking of some of your more prominent MLAs. Who are very forceful of the party that you used to be an MLA in. And I don't think that there's anybody would describe some of your DUP MLAs as anything less than colourful. I'm thinking of how Gregory Campbell isn't exactly a shrinking violet. I'm thinking of Sammy Wilson. You know, he doesn't sit and whisper, does he? I'm watching some of the exchanges in Prime Minister's questions when the likes of Nigel Dodds stand up. I remember Nigel Dodds during the RHI inquiry, the so-called whistleblower. So the DUP does not whisper. Why now suddenly wanting everybody to have a particular type of sensitive tone?
Hold on, let him answer.
I appreciate the fact, Stephen, you've been away in America and you may have missed some of the exchanges I had with your good friend and colleague, Vinay, about some of these points. First of all, I was invited onto the programme this morning as a commentator along with Alison Morrow.
Absolutely.
And not to represent any party.
Absolutely.
Not to speak for any party. I was also told that you were going to invite onto the programme representatives from all the different political parties.
That's right. And we're going to talk to Stephen Farrey in just a second.
And when you get people on from Sinn Féin, put the question about Sinn Féin and past
behaviour. But you've been bringing
Sinn
up Sinn Féin constantly.
And when you've heard someone on from the DUP, you can put the point to them. The fact is that I think there is a reluctance to face up to the core issue, which was the one that really, the really most important issue yesterday wasn't simply the points that were raised there at the show. And to say that Karen Bradley went off and wanted to go and look at cows, that's quite disparaging and demeaning. I think that's unhelpful.
That's what the woman
the
said.
The fact is, she wanted to go out.
She didn't use the word cows, but she wanted to go out and enjoy the show.
Part of the enjoyment of the show for a politician, part of the enjoyment is the opportunity to talk to people, to hear views, to hear insights, to get a better understanding. That's the sort of, it's not a case of away and look at the cows.
All right.
That's demeaning to the BBC. It's demeaning to the gentleman who brought it up, and it's demeaning to everyone.
Okay.
Let's have a rational debate rather than this.
Always nice to talk to you, Nelson and Alison. Thank you.